T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92. The game on this Wednesday, Atlanta United tonight. Mike Connie, Jason Longshore on the call as they take on FC Dallas. See if they can get kind of turn it in the right direction. Braves again tonight against the Miami Marlins as the Braves now. But the only thing really left for the Braves to do is figure out whether or not they're going to be the number two or number three seed after they have clinched the NL East title and head off to the playoffs. And here that might mean, you know, the opening round will be at Truist Park, best two out of three. And another thing we have to keep in mind is that there's no downtime here, because you'll get a couple of games against the Marlins, then you'll get the Red Sox for this weekend, and you go right into the playoffs. We're talking Marlins, Cardinals, Reds, whoever they're going to play, we're talking a week from today.
Get your mind right and get ready to go. This is what you wanted, so yeah, just got to get ready to roll. I mean, they'll be fine. Not worried about that. They'll be fine.
The baseball, by the way, and this is another part of this we could kind of throw in there, is, you know, would you go to Texas if the Braves make the World Series in baseball, which said last night we're considering letting fans in to the World Series? Would you fly to Dallas to go to the game? Falcons are going to have 500 fans at their game against the Bears.
Friends and family,
Sunday.
Right?
Friends
so
and family.
So they don't really count. Friends and family. They don't count.
And of course, you know, it's just a test run here of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but they're going to be live people in the stadium, 500. And then if that goes well, then maybe in their next home game, which would be October the 11th, they'll play the Bears, then they go on the road to play the Packers, then they come home on the 11th to face the Carolina Panthers. And if that goes well with the 500, maybe they open it up to 10,000, 15,000, maybe even 20,000. And the question is to you at 404-741-0929, would you go? Now, I kind of put that question on Twitter last night. Here's a couple of responses, Hugh, because the snark is strong in these people, okay? This one is from Sused Folio about the 500 fans going in and asking, about the 500 fans. He said, hopefully they make it to their seats by the end of the first half.
That just sounds like somebody who worried about what other folks doing instead of worrying about himself. I'm just saying, that's what it sounds like to me. That's somebody who worried about somebody else's business but your own. Okay, but anyway, next, who else?
Thomas Thurston, a few more games like Sunday and 500 fans might be a realistic number.
He ain't lying about that one. You know what? I think Falcons fans are pretty loyal. They'll be there. They'll at least be at the tailgate. The tailgate will be lit. Now, whether or not they're making it to the building, man, that's another story.
Were you saying if they allow 20,000 into the stadium against the Panthers that you're still a no-go?
No, I wouldn't go. But you know what, though, John? This probably wouldn't make any sense, but I would go to the tailgate. I would go hang out with my friends at the tailgates, though. Mm-hmm. I would go to social distancing, of course, you know, and things of that nature, but probably going in the stadium, no. I don't watch the game. I'd rather watch the game at home anyway. Like, I'd rather watch it on television anyway because I have the power. Like, I'm too social at the game. And even though some people say that, oh, I sit down and watch the whole game, it's a lot that you miss being there. I mean, you go for the ambiance and the camaraderie and things of that nature. But for me, I need to see what's going on. I need to see, you know, the replays and things of that nature. So I would rather watch it at home.
Johnny joins us here. Johnny, welcome to the show. Johnny, if they open it up against Carolina and 20,000 are let in, are you going to go?
Hugh and John, I'm a Bears fan, so I'm going. I planned on going to 4 games this year, Tennessee, Atlanta, Jacksonville, and Carolina. Now, I can't go to any. So I will go to that game in a hazmat suit if I could.
That's probably what you're going to need to wear, especially if, you know what I'm saying, they talk about the numbers are going back up. So, yeah, to be safe, yeah, you probably want to put a hazmat suit on.
Yeah, well,
right,
you know.
Bears, 3-0.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. But, yeah, I get you. I mean, yeah, I know I heard him.
I don't know. I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that, even though
well,
I
Well, you didn't know about 2-0.
I didn't.
So, look, you know, their defense is some kind of nasty right now. But, you know, and again, you got to get the breaks. I mean, the Falcons, you know, don't recover an onside kicker. They're 1-1. And you know, if you know, the Lions don't drop a pass, not that DeAndre Swift has got to be reminded of that, they're, you know, Lions blew that lead in the fourth quarter. That was a bad game for the Lions. Bad, bad game.
They wonder how is Matt Patricia going to be able to keep his job. He about to lose his job.
Yeah, I know.
He about to lose his job.
Sort of surprised he's still there. Dwayne joins John and you. Hey, Dwayne.
Good morning, Dwayne. Guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. What's going on?
Not much, man. You know, I tell you, man, I'm a season ticket holder, and I opted out to participate in some of the games that they are going to let fans in. So I would not go. I just rather things kind of calm down a little bit more before I cash in on that. But I also would like to talk a little bit about some of the things Dan Quinn said, if y'all don't mind.
Go for it.
Okay. You know, I really and truly am tired of it, and I kind of think Arthur Blank has failed the fan base in this regard. Somebody show you who they are, man. You need to believe it. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, just for you to say, well, if you make the playoffs, you keep your job. First of all, we got enough talent on that team to make the playoffs without any very little coaching whatsoever. So a coach should either – it's going to either take you down or either build you up further than from where you are. And the fact of the matter is Dan Quinn has not done that. And the main indictment on that part is that when Kyle Shanahan was here, we went to the Super Bowl. Didn't win it. When Kyle Shanahan left, we hadn't sniffed so much the playoffs just one time. But the fact of the matter is he left here and goes to another team and goes back to the Super Bowl. That should tell you in and of itself what the situation is. I'm sorry that my team is suffering and this city is suffering through what we're having to deal with, and still the mediocrity is being accepted just to say if you make the playoffs. No, you've got to change this thing, man. And I just
so does he have a point here, Hugh? Does Dwayne have a point about coaching or no? I mean, you played the game.
I think coaching plays a huge part in it, John. I think coaches help, you know, players, especially when you reach a certain level, see certain things that they can't see because, you know, they are at that level. I think coaches are very, very important. I mean, but I hear his frustration. I understand his frustration. I think this goes more to, I think when I listen to the fans speak and I hear some of the things that they say about what Coach Quinn says, I get both sides of it. Now, I understand Coach Quinn's terminology and his coach speak because I've been in the trenches and I know how coaches talk. But being around the fans and listening to them, they feel like, well, this is what I get from this is my assessment. They feel like Coach Quinn sometimes are talking to them like they're not that bright. And that's frustrating for a lot of people. And, you know, it's like a lot of people feel that when Coach Quinn says certain things, he's repeating the same thing that he said the week before, and people are seeing it differently than he sees it, and they get frustrated behind that, and that's where all of this comes from. And then on top of that, John, the last couple of seasons, from and this is my assessment, the last couple of seasons you've been saying the same thing, and you've gotten the same results. You haven't changed a thing. You know what I mean? Nothing has changed. We've gotten off to another slow start, regardless of how much you've talked about making it better and keeping your nose to the grindstone and working hard and everything like that. All of those cliches are fine when you see results, but for this fan base, from my assessment, you're saying all these things and you're still getting the same results, and that's frustrating for them.
Thank you, Dwayne. Do appreciate your jumping into the program. Lee's jumping in right now. Lee, welcome to the show. Would you go against Carolina if they open up the doors at Mercedes-Benz? Hey, Lee.
Hey, what's going on, John? What's going on, Hugh? First of all, guys, love you guys get me through it every morning on my way in. So, at this point right now, man, I call myself a loyal Falcons fan. And I've been that, you know, I'm 36 years old, and I've been that since probably second grade when I first started watching football. You know, I'm Atlanta native, but at this point right now, and I even posted on a couple of my pages on my Twitter, I can't find myself being loyal to this team anymore just from the heartbreak and you know, it's like this weekend I just relived Super Bowl. Like, I literally relived it at halftime. I'm like, all right, I still need to watch this game. I'm not even going to talk any junk on my Facebook or nothing because I know what this team's going to do. Like, they're going to blow leads. And as a fan, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of having to defend the team that I grew up loving to everybody else of why I love this team. And, you know, I feel like loyalty is something that should be reciprocated. And at this point right now, the team has not lived up to reciprocating any type of loyalty to us fans. And then we not only have the issues with dealing with fans from other teams, you know, you're dealing with people within your own team. Fanmanship, I guess, would be the best word to say. You know, it's like you got your Matt Ryan haters and you got your Matt Ryan lovers, and then you got those of us that may have played some ball in high school that know the game, but it's like I'm just tired of arguing with folks.
Yep. Lee, appreciate the call. Speaks for a lot of people out there. Right now, it's not easy being a Falcons fan right now. Trust me, but you and I know this. You know, we're the flagship station. We see it. You know, some of these guys can walk away from it. We can't. we live it.
Be here. What they say right now? That's that Teddy Pendergrass song. That whole town's laughing at me.
All right, and I appreciate what Dwayne said, and Johnny and Lee and everybody else. I'm with you. You know, all we can do is commiserate and cross our fingers and hope it gets better. And right now, you got to give me a reason to hope. I mean, look, it is a good football team. That's what's, you know, if they were a bad team, okay. They're not a bad team. That's what gets you crazy about all of it. Braves are a pretty good team. They've got another NL East title in their back pocket, and they're headed off to the playoffs. Do they get some of the love from the national media when it comes to some of those postseason honors? We have a stats expert to come on and talk to us about where the Braves stand from a statistical standpoint in terms of postseason honors and more. We'll touch in on that for a few minutes and talk a little bit about the Braves as we continue next on the morning show after a CBS Sports Minute.
Covington.
What's up?
I hear they love us in Covington. It's Carl Dukes from Dukes and Bell. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 2 to 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Fly ball. That is belted deep left center field. Ozuna's done it again. A 5 RBI night for Marcell Ozuna, and the Braves have scored 11.
Two more home runs last night. Welcome back to the morning show on Sports Radio 92 in the game. Two more home runs for Marcell Ozuna, part of 5 more home runs for the Atlanta Braves, who have now hit 98 home runs as a team. That's just a phenomenal figure. Welcome back to the morning show as we continue looking at the NL East champion Braves now as they get ready to close out the season, see if they can finish as the number 2 seed. Hugh Douglas, Marcell Ozuna has 17 home runs and 53 RBIs, leads the National League in both categories, and is not even the best hitter on the team.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, the one thing you talked about yesterday, John, was the fact that this lineup can hit. No question about that. You know, it's funny. I'm thinking back, and I can't recall, but I remember in when we had this shortened spring training, how Marcell Ozuna didn't look that great. And I think a lot of people were a lot concerned about him. I'm pretty sure they're not concerned about him now.
No.
There was a little bit of concern about him.
Now, the other thing you're concerned about Marcell Ozuna is how much money you're willing to pay him in the offseason to stay.
If that's the case, yeah. If you're going to do that. This is kind of like the same. This is Josh Donaldson all over again.
Uh-huh. Ryan Spader is a baseball analyst and a statistician, and we use him on the program to come in here and fill in some of those stat blanks for us and talk a little bit about this. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Gentlemen, I really appreciate you having me back.
Hey, man, what's going on? How you been? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Toby Freeman. That's good, man. So Freddie Freeman, how does he compare as far as the NL MVP vote is concerned, the discussion is concerned?
So I think it's going to be either Freeman or Ozuna, honestly, because unfortunately for the advocates of Fernando Tatis, he batted just 125 over his last 11 games. And typically over the course of a season, you're looking at 11 games like, okay, this happens. But over a course of 60 games, you're talking nearly a fifth of the season. So you can't have 20% of the season where you're hitting 125. And then in the case of Mookie Betts, he's also struggled for a bit over his last 11 games. Now, when you're looking at Freddie Freeman and Marcell Ozuna, both of these guys putting up monster numbers down the stretch here. Specifically, the only thing that I think can really hurt either one of these guys is you're going to have them both stealing votes from each other. And you see that happen from time to time. But in the end, I still like one or the other to take home the hardware.
You know, one of the things we've talked about, Ryan Spader, baseball statistician, joining us on the WaveFord.com hotline, is whether or not, you know, the flavor of the month. I mean, that always happens. Juan Soto's had a big year offensively. If Washington were any better, you know, there'd be more talk about him, obviously. But, you know, Freddie's been around. I mean, 30 years old. He's been around. Been doing it for so long. People just expect Freddie Freeman to put up these kind of numbers. But when he leads in so many categories, or is first or second in so many categories, leads in all the next-gen stats that he leads in, at some point, you know, this doesn't just become let's give him an award as a nod to, you know, his career and all the accomplishments. It's really kind of well-deserved, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what Freeman's doing this year is almost a shame in a way, because this is a guy who was a star to begin with. I mean, he's got, what, 2-3 top five MVP finishes as it is. And he's really broken out this year and taken it to the next level, a level that we only see from a guy like Mike Trout. And I think this is going to go down as one of those seasons that for a very, very long time, people are going to say, what would have Freddie Freeman done over the course of 162 games? I mean, he's batting nearly .350. His on-base percentage is he's getting on base nearly half of the time. And then his OPS is over 1.1. And in terms of, you mentioned the next generation statistics, in terms of adjusted OPS, where you look at what the league is doing and what Freddie Freeman is doing in comparison to the league, his OPS plus is 82% above league average. Previously, and bear in mind, this is somebody you guys know well, is a star year after year, an MVP candidate year after year. Previously, his career best season was 57% above league average. And the one thing that's really kind of like a shot in my gut is I've always wanted to see the doubles record, single season doubles record go down. And he's got, what, 22 now, 21 in 55 games. And that would give him a shot at getting that 67 that requires, that's what required for the record. And it's just not something we're going to be privy to this year, unfortunately.
Okay, sticking with that Braves theme, Max Fried, is he still in a Cy Young discussion?
As far as I'm concerned, hands down, Cy Young Award winner. We're talking about a day and age where we oftentimes look at baseball as the three true outcomes sport, be it a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. And when you go over the course of an entire season without allowing a home run, I'm not sure if he's going to get another start now. But even in making only 10 starts, you've got to win that. The Cy Young Award. And one thing that I hope voters look at in terms of Fried's numbers is he actually hasn't allowed a single unearned run this year. That doesn't hurt a player's ERA, where Darvish and Bauer both have better earned run average, but that just means he's picking up his teammates when they're making mistakes behind him. And also, Fried's opponents have a higher runs per nine inning average than the opponents of Darvish and Bauer by about a half a run. So these are all things I think you've got to consider. And then I think you'll get the nod with the old school guys with the undefeated record and 7 wins over the course of 10 games. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, 7-0 with an ERA of 1.96. Here's the thing that I'm kind of curious about. Ryan Spader, baseball statistician, when you look at Freddie Freeman's race for an MVP and Max Fried's race for a Cy Young, I'm curious because we say next-gen stats. Do voters, you know, because a lot of these baseball writers are old school. I'm not sure they look at next-gen stats. And a lot of the baseball writers are also big market guys. And so I don't think that they look at bigger picture sometimes. I think they just look at strikeouts to walks and kind of the old school stats when it comes to Max Fried. They don't take into account two things for Freddie. One is next-gen stats. And for Fried, I don't think they take into account the fact that he had to be upon his shoulders not just Mike Soroka and the injury, but really the entire starting staff of the Atlanta Braves, which was in freefall meltdown, and he had to be that guy. He's not a great pitcher on a great staff. He was one guy in a sea of suck for a long time. And so I think that those things, I think, ought to play into the decisions of the voters.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I think that it's sort of the luck of the draw with who happens to be voting for a particular award in a given year, because sometimes you'll just happen to get 15, 16 guys who put more stock into something like ERA Plus, where Fried has an earned run average that's 144% above league average. And then sometimes you're going to get those old school voters who are just going to look at wins, losses, ERA, and I already stated that the ERA probably not the best case for Fried because he's not allowing unearned runs either, and his opponents are a little bit stronger than that of Darvish and Bauer. And then it's strikeouts, where he's, I guess it's looked down upon that he's slightly below nine strikeouts per nine innings, which is a little bit ridiculous because get the guys out any way you can. Perhaps he found even a more efficient way to do so. And then in the case of Freddie Freeman, well, he doesn't have the massive home run numbers, but he's got 32 extra base hits over the course of 54 games, a slugging percentage well into the 600s. And he's somebody who's absolutely got to be considered for that award alongside of his teammate, Ozuna. And I think where Ozuna might steal some of the votes is in the event of those older school guys. I mean, Ozuna's got 42 RBIs over his last 34 games. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
He's been ridiculous
for the season, and Freeman's right there with him with 50. But that's where you're going to see some of those guys stealing votes from each other in terms of the type of voter.
Ryan, appreciate your filling in some of the blanks for us. We'll be interested to see how this all kind of plays out. Of course, we have first things first, which is to actually win a playoff series before we worry about individual honors. But nonetheless, there you go. I do appreciate it. Thanks much.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Have a good
Ryan Spader, baseball statistician, joining us on, and he's our statistician joining us, a little bit of thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens. He brought up something that I just wanted to spend a minute with you. Max Fried, do you rest him now because the playoffs are a week away? I mean, do you give him one more start and then you shut him down? Do you start shutting guys down here, or is it important
think you need to start babying folks, John, if that's what you're asking. I think that, you know, when you talk about this special season, this pandemic season, mm-hmm. and you talk about, you know, your horse, yeah, you got to let him go. I know it's one of those rest versus rust things, but let him go. Let him go. I will let him go.
Yeah, because you only got three starters at the moment that you can count on, and the one thing you don't want to do is to kind of burn them out. You know, this is not going to be an easy thing when you go right from the regular season. You got to play Boston for three games, and then bam, you're right into the playoffs, and there are no off days. You're going boom, boom, boom. You know, you can create an off day if you can win two out of three and win the first two. You can create an off day, but if you don't, then suddenly, you know, you're going to be, you know, in this circle and suddenly pitching on 3 days rest, which is going to be really difficult if you have to do it more than once.
How many games you have to win to be a World Series champion, John?
You have to win two, then you have to win three, and then you have to win four and four. So that's what, 8, 11, 13 games.
All right, then how many he's going to end up pitching? I think he can suck it up. I think you can suck it up for that little bit of time. I mean, to be a champion, that's nothing. You know, that short time right there, mm-hmm. that's nothing. Like my coach used to say, you could wrestle a bear for what, 18 games or whatever, how many you mm-hmm. said. I forgot just that quick. Yeah, you can do anything for that amount of time.
Well, Fried's pitching tonight. It's probably his last start of the year, and he's pitching against Sixto Sanchez, who, frankly,
pretty good.
Ian Anderson might be, you know, a Rookie of the Year candidate. This Sixto Sanchez, man, that dude. He can really bring it. He's, you know, you want to talk about a rookie pitcher that everybody ought to be excited about in Miami? That guy. He looks like he's got star written all over him. So it might be a bit of a pitching duel tonight for, and if Free goes four or five, then, you know, I mean, that's about it. I'm not going to push him. You've already locked up the division. No reason to, you know, have him go seven tonight. Just four or five innings, get sharp, and then next time you see him is going to be the playoffs. All right, when we get back here in a moment, Sweet Tea brings the tea. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 40, Wednesday, 40. Oh, yeah, it's time for Sweet Tea. What she has in store for us next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Conyers. It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Is that on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Anitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sweet Tea every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8:40. Tanitra, how are you?
Good morning, Tanitra. I am well, John. Good morning, Hugh. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Awesome.
Well, good. And I think you'll be doing really good when Abe and I bring this first story to you guys this morning because it puts a little bit of positivity on the Falcons Sunday situation.
Good luck.
Just like, hey man, give me a chance. So just like we just saw in my update, I tried to go half glass full with Harry Douglas's bite from yesterday's joining you guys yesterday's hit for the morning show, right? So I also found something, and Abe's gonna play a little sound for me, but we'll start positive. Earlier, Dak Prescott, of course, this month spoke about his brother Jace, who passed away by suicide in April. That huge loss, which came as the start of the pandemic, had Prescott dealing with depression. So, you know, his willingness to speak about mental health clearly resonated with Hayden Hurst. His family has a foundation that works to raise awareness for mental health issues in children. So after the game, Hurst made it a point to catch up with Dak and commend him for those remarks. And the exchange was actually captured on Falcons' mic'd up video from Sunday's game.
Hey, I got a lot of respect for what you did. Came out and talked about. Me and my mom have a foundation about suicide prevention.
Yeah.
Respect the hell out of you for talking about it, man.
Collab one day.
Absolutely.
Now, John, tell me that doesn't at least...
Okay, all right, fine. All right, you win. That is...
Yeah, I want to win, John. I want to bring a positive spin to what happened with the Falcons. And somebody who, you know, we had been looking for the good from Hayden Hurst, and we finally got to see, you know, some of his brilliance on Sunday. And then, despite all of the pain that he was enduring, you know, start of the game, woohoo, end of the game, not so much. He still was so classy and had the presence of mind to go to Dak, give him some love for what he had been going through, but also highlighting such an issue that a lot of times people try to, you know, sweep under the rug, or if you're Skip Bayless, try to minimize the importance of.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was about to say to Tanitra, because it's one of those things, like an old teammate of mine, Dorsey Levins, talks about how, you know, especially with NFL players,
yes,
a lot of guys are depressed and they think about suicide. They don't want to talk about it because it's one of those things that's not considered macho.
Right.
You know, and you're put in a vulnerable spot. And for Dak to be vulnerable like that and talk about it, especially at a time like now, you know, with people with the social distancing, it's starting to take its toll on a lot of people.
And for
him to be, you know, open and honest like that, I mean, that was a bold move. And you look at him and you know, a lot of people, I'm pretty sure, they had to do a little bit of soul searching to be honest with themselves. Like, you know what? I feel where he's coming from, because, you know, you probably had those thoughts or whatnot. So, yeah, for him to be open and honest like that, I commend him for that as well.
Yeah, and the NFL, of course, has been so, you know, front and center, guys, in terms of Junior Seau, Dave Duerson, I mean, others that have had to go, you know, we know the stories. And
here, yeah, John, it's a scary thing, man, because it's a lot of cats that deal with depression after they get done playing football, and they don't want to talk about it because of that, because of the same thing that Skip Bayless did. You know, you go out there and you ridicule people. Oh, you're a big, strong guy. You know, people, I don't understand, and I'm sorry to need you to go off on a tangent, but
this is good.
You know,
this is good stuff.
I don't understand how people, like money, like for a lot of people, money cures everything.
Sure.
You know, when you talk about adulation, as far as, like, you know, when you talk about dealing with social injustice, well, you're a millionaire. You don't feel, you're not the same as everybody else, or you're a millionaire, you shouldn't be depressed. That is the stupidest thing that I can that yeah. anybody would ever say. I don't understand how anybody feels like just because you're a star or something like that, you have a lot of money, that you still can't get depressed. I don't understand yeah. that.
There's no correlation there, because there are different shades, and that's the other piece of it as well. You know, there are different shades of blue when it comes to depression. You know, you can start off with it being something that literally is just a day. That's why they call it the blues, kind of a blue day or blue week or blue month. But like you said, let life hit you. I don't care whether you have a dollar or $1 million, and it can really start, especially because everything really starts with your mental. Everything yeah. starts with your mental. And so again, even for Hayden Hurst, in the pain that he was experiencing with what had just happened on the field, to have that presence of mind and that respect to go over to him and say, hey, you know, thanks, man, for what you did. Here's what my family is doing as well. And then for Dak to respond and say, hey, great, thanks for that. You know, let's collaborate. You still kind of look at it, like I said, as kind of a half glass, half full situation mm-hmm. where you can still find that silver lining, even on, you know, what some would say, other than one other day, would be the darkest days in, you know, the Falcons organization, and even maybe, you know, for Hayden Hurst as a player. So another fun thing that's going on, as, you know, one of the sports that has really, really captured a lot of people's attention, even more so than maybe pre-corona, is golf. And some of the things that they're trying to do in the golf world to make it a little bit more fun for those who are watching socially distanced, meaning you can't even be out there on most of the courses. So Tiger Woods, who designed, oh my God, an amazing course. I mean, if you have not seen the 19th hole on that course in Missouri, go get some, because that bonus hole is the truth. But anyway, he had an event yesterday with Justin Thomas and he playing together. Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy were playing together as well. So then McIlroy gets on one hole with Thomas and they start talking about Domino's Pizza, and McIlroy really got into why he's been on a Domino kick lately.
If you don't know what the really good local pizza place is, yeah. Domino's is like solid.
Yeah, you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I get the same. It's the deluxe, but like a like extra sausage, extra or whatever. Just like you come here, I'll pick it up. It's amazing. Yeah. Like almost too salty.
So Abe's favorite pizza spot is The Bird in Dunwoody. Mine is Rachetti's in Flowery Branch or Nancy's. But there's also this spot that Andy had mentioned to me months ago, pre-corona. It's called Rosati's in Buckhead, that I'd love to check out. But for you guys, what's your go-to pizza, whether it's kind of the quickie takeout like a Domino's or kind of that gourmet style? What's your favorite here in the city?
You know, it's neat you ain't right for this, because I'm fasting right now because I have to go to Nuberti to do I have to do a health check. And you really hurt me with this one, because my stomach is growling right now.
Drink,
and talking about
some
all
water,
this
man.
Pizza.
Drink some water.
Yeah. Water's going to make me feel a whole lot better. But I would have to say, like, right off the top is Mellow Mushroom. And the barbecue piece, I forgot the name of it. The barbecue, especially, like, you know, Mellow Mushroom, a magic cookie, it's on. And it's like right across the street from me. Yeah, it's right across the street from me. I'm good to go. So yeah, I'm gonna say Mellow Mushroom, because that's, and Domino's for that matter. Yeah. Both of them are right across the street.
Okay, I'll co-sign on Mellow Mushroom. How about you, John?
Well, you know, I mean, I used to love the original Mellow Mushroom, which was in Emery Village. Mm. You know,
I don't know if
it's lost a little bit of its. And then there was
Luster.
Everybody's Pizza, which I was great in the day too. Same places down there in Emery, but. You know what I did yesterday? I mean, usually Johnny's, but yesterday for lunch, my daughter and I went to Whole Foods and you know, got a salad, and I got a piece of their pizza. I don't know if you've ever had the Whole Foods pizza. Wow, that was pretty darn good, I gotta say.
They still putting out food at Whole Foods after the pandemic?
Yeah. Listen,
you know what? It got me to thinking that I might go to Whole Foods next time and get a whole pie.
I tell you what, listen.
Right, like a box one.
Whole Foods, Whole Foods. They do. I haven't been to Whole Foods.
No, it's the fresh hot bar that they had, you know, I mean, out there. So, I mean, I just took a slice off the fresh hot bar. It was pretty good, Hugh. Not going to lie.
John,
is this the one in Midtown?
No, this is the one in Kennesaw.
Okay, all right. I was just thinking it, because I have actually, John, had pizza from the one in Midtown pre-corona. And yeah, it was actually good. Now, I'm going to tell you, as far as like the quickie kind of fast food delivery style, I'm sorry. I like Domino's, but I do still love Pizza Hut. I do. Maybe it's me. But anyway, guys,
20
real
years.
Quick, if you've got some time on your hands tonight, then you should check out a reboot of the Friends sitcom. It's actually going to be reimagined with an all-black cast. This is something Tracee Ellis Ross has been doing. It's sort of a part of a Get Out the Vote campaign that she is spearheading, right? And Gabrielle Union, she's going to be the host of the live table read. You can see Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, Uba Udaba from Orange is the New Black, and also Sterling K. Brown's wife and his This Is Us co-star, Ryan Bethay. I think it's just kind of cool to see some of the old shows like they did the Golden Girls one reimagined. So if you got 30 minutes tonight, check it out.
That might be Tanitra
Batiste on Twitter, at Tanitra Batiste. No, I'm thinking about this. All right, I got you. We get ready. Joe Patrick in the next hour, our Braves expert. How do the Braves handle the end of the season? Do they start shutting players down? We're going to talk to him about that as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.